And good morning. Welcome to the first Panic Podcast of a brand new week. Get your Bibles, get your cups of coffee. We're going to be looking at another thing that God wants is people to delight in. So get comfortable and enjoy the Panic Podcast for this Monday morning, October the 5th. Yeah, boy, it's hard to believe that it's October the 5th already. It seems like only yesterday it was summertime and contractor Jesse was demolishing my house and, you know, rebuilding it, putting in walls and doors and stuff. And, man, I can't believe that's all over with. Boy, where does the time go? Hey, where does the time go? And it's like the older you get, the faster time goes. Boy, that hardly seems fair. But that's the way it works, and I guess that's the way it has always worked. Well, we started a brand new series of study on Friday, things that God wants his people to delight in. And one of the things that when I tell people this, they're kind of surprised, and that is that God is happy, and he wants his people to be happy too. I don't know why that would be a surprise to anybody. I think a lot of Christians have really mixed up views about God. Now, as I say, God is happy, but that's not to say that God never experiences any other emotions. Now, I say that from the human perspective, of course, because we know that he does. For example, 2 Kings 17:18, "Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only." Yeah, sometimes our happy God gets angry. And I'll tell you what, sometimes anger is an appropriate emotion for you to express too. Anger is not always bad. Matthew 5:22, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Now that phrase, without a cause, let me go back and read that again. "But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause." Now that is missing, excuse me, in some modern translations. Or you'll find it in the footnotes or in the margin or something. But most of the ancient manuscripts have it. So there is clearly a time for anger. Jesus got angry. He got angry at sin and hypocrisy, got angry at people who took advantage of other people, like the Pharisees. There's even advice in the Bible about the right way to be angry. Get this. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your anger. Neither give place to the devil." Yeah, James 1:19 and 20. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." My dad used to always say, "Don't fly off the handle." Now, I don't exactly know where that saying came from. So if anybody knows what that saying means, you know, literally, please let me know. But when we tell somebody don't fly off the handle, usually what we're saying is, you know, a quick temper is not a good thing. Like just stay calm. You know, don't get super angry fast. Slow to wrath means using anger sparingly and at the appropriate times. Otherwise, you'll just make a hash of an already bad situation. So yeah, the Bible makes it clear that you can be angry and sin not if you use your anger at an appropriate time and in an appropriate way. But generally speaking, let's say this. Generally speaking, the Lord wants us to be happy people. And the last time we discovered that Christians should delight in the Lord. Remember that Isaiah 58:14, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I issued myself a personal challenge this week. I'm going to read from the King James Version only. We'll see how that works out. So there's nothing wrong with delighting in the blessings of the Lord, by the way, but we should never forget from whom those blessings came. We should delight ourselves in the Lord. And something else we should delight in is found in Psalm 40. So turn your Bibles to Psalm 40, and this is where we're going to be for most of the remainder of this morning's study. Oh, that's a good cup of coffee. I know it's bad form to drink on the air, but some mornings I just have to have an extra cup of coffee. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. So, not only should believers delight in God, but they should also delight in doing the will of God, doing what he wants and living the way he wants us to. Does that make you happy? Honest question. Does doing God's will make you happy? Well, it should, and let's see why. Now, Psalm 40 was probably written by David, and as he wrote it, he was in a very reflective mood. He was thinking about how good God had been to him during his life, all down through the years. It's always good to think back about God's goodness towards you. It's easy to do, by the way. It's easy to think about how good God has been because God's always good to you. Never ever forget the words of James, the half-brother of Jesus. He wrote, every good and perfect gift is from above. James 1:17. Remember that? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good thing in your life is there because God put it there. So if you can't think of something to be thankful for, think about all the good things in your life, because those things came from the Father of the heavenly lights. So truth is, you probably have plenty to be thankful for. David was really thankful for the Lord's help and deliverance in time past. Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. He's put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Sounds like a hymn we say. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. I love that. I love that hymn. Well, sometimes when we pray, you probably notice this as I have, that it takes the Lord quite a while to get around to answering our prayer. And David begins Psalm 40 with waiting patiently. He waited patiently for the Lord to act. And eventually the Lord did act. Patience, they say, is a virtue. And it's certainly in short supply in the church these days. We are not a patient people as modern American Christians. We just aren't. We need to understand that the Lord always works. He never fails to work. But he works according to his timetable, never ours. And we'd do well to remember that. Incidentally, when the Lord seems slow to getting around to answering one of your prayers, it's only slow to you because God's timing is always impeccable. It's perfect. God moves at the perfect time for the maximum good of the one making the request. So don't ever forget that. Please don't forget that. Don't beat yourself up if God seems slow in answering your prayer, and don't think bad thoughts about God if he seems to be taking his time. All right, just be patient. David wrote that he's patient with the Lord, but honestly, he's being patient with himself. We don't know what David's situation was, but apparently it was perilous. His very life was being threatened. It was as though we were standing on slippery ground, and he was slipping away from safety. So he prayed about it, and he was probably in a rush for God to do something, but he had to wait patiently. And when God delivered him, it felt like, well, like God had swooped down and lifted David off of that slippery slope and deposited him back on a firm, secure rock. And David's response to God's deliverance was that he was able to sing a new song. It was a new song because God had changed his circumstances. Now remember, we're reading some Hebrew poetry here. So you got to ask yourself, did David really sing a song when all this was going on? Well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the big takeaway here is that when God answered his prayer, David did not keep it to himself. He talked, or he sung about it. His hope was that as he testified about God's goodness, other people would hear him and take a lesson and turn to the Lord just as he had done. And that's a good reason, by the way, for you to tell other people about God's blessings in your life. Going on, Psalm 40, verses 4 and 5. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are directed toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. That's beautiful, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? David wrote that any man who trusts the Lord is a happy man. That's the meaning behind our English word blessed or blessed. So the opposite must be true. Those who don't trust God must not be happy people. It's always better to trust God than, as David wrote, the proud. One who trusts someone or something other than God is a proud person because they think they know better than God. So you can trust God because God is uniquely powerful. There's nobody like him in the whole earth. He's uniquely knowledgeable. He knows things that no human being could possibly know. That's the essence of the fifth verse. If you can't trust the one who created all there is, who causes the sun to rise and set, the one who hung the stars in place, then brother or sister, you are in big trouble. God is completely trustworthy, and just looking at what he's done in the past and what he'd do right now proves his trustworthiness. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Okay, that is an interesting verse that's, I think, easily misunderstood. And some people might find it bewildering. In fact, truth is, sacrifice and offerings are things that God has insisted upon. From the earliest days in the Garden of Eden, God has desired from man sacrifice and offerings. So, just what was David getting at here? Well, for believers today, anything we do for the Lord or anything we do in his name without faith in Christ or with questionable motives, God wants nothing to do with. Sacrifices and offerings are good works and good works. Sacrifices, offerings, and good works. Let me try that again. Were never, ever intended to take the place of simple faith in God. That's the way it's always been, even since the early days of the Old Testament. Now, David is remembering the past. And he probably had in mind the terrible, awful, sinful actions of King Saul. Take a look at 1 Samuel 15. You probably should read this with me. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. Just go back a few pages. And Samuel said, now listen to this. Samuel was, you know, the prophet and the priest of Israel. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected thee from being king. Now, King Saul, as you'll recall, was a rebellious man and thought that he just offering a sacrifice or two would make up for his past acts of rebellion. Fact is, they didn't even come close, because what God really wanted from Saul was not another sacrifice. What God wanted from Saul is what he wants from all people. Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17. Listen, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. That's what God wants. Get it? A broken spirit, broken by him, which results in a life of obedience. And when we see ourselves the way we really are, broken people, the way God sees us, our hearts will be broken and become contrite. And we will approach God in a humble attitude. And that's what he wants. See, God doesn't like formalism with no heart behind it. God loves you as a person. And as a person is how God wants you to come to him. Back in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. When you truly love God and are living for him, you'll be committed to him. King David, the psalmist here, heard exactly what God required of the king. The Torah was the charter for the nation of Israel. And that's probably what David was saying here. As the king and as a devout follower of Yahweh, he was following the teachings of Scripture. He delighted to do God's will. It made him happy as king and happy as a man to follow God's will as revealed in his word. David wasn't forced to order his life and reign according to God's will. He was happy to do it because he sincerely loved the word of God, and it gave him joy to walk according to it. Reading on, verses 9 and 10. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not restrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Boy, can you say that? Can you honestly say that? See, David loved the Word of God so much that he wasn't afraid to talk about it. He let his witness for the way of God burst forth from his mouth. See, for David, faith was not a personal thing. It wasn't something that he practiced only on the Sabbath day. It wasn't a personal thing. His faith, his love for God, his love of God's word, those things were always on his mind, and it was part of his being. Talking about the goodness of God was as natural to him as talking about the weather is to a Canadian. How about that? But isn't that the way it is with anything you enjoy? Anything that brings you happiness? Think about it. Anything that you really have fun with, you want to share with other people because you want them to experience the joy that you've experienced. So I can tell what brings you happiness by listening to what you talk about to your friends. Now, if I listened in, what would I hear you talking about? What would you be talking about? Would you even think to mention the goodness of God? Would you even think to mention the Word of God? See, the Lord expects us to delight in Him and to delight in His Word. When you do, you not only live your life according to His Word, but you're not afraid to talk about it. I had a youth pastor growing up. He always used to use the illustration of when you're at a sporting event, you stand up and you cheer your favorite team, or when your favorite team, you know, scores a goal or sinks a basket or whatever, you stand up and cheer. How come we don't think about doing that when it comes to God? He's worth cheering for. He's worth cheering over. He's worth talking about. And when we talk about God, and when we aren't shy about talking about God's Word, people will be blessed, whether they like it or not. People will be blessed, and so will you. You'll feel happy. You'll be glad that you did. Don't be shy. Don't ever be shy about talking about God or His Word. And I guess we should leave it there for this morning. Delight in God and delight in His Word, and we'll pick up the next delight on Wednesday. How about that? Well, let's bow our heads and pray. It's about 23 and a half minutes into the podcast. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to bless the rest of our day and to give us a good week, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank You for this time that we've spent around Your Word. Boy, we love studying Your Word together. I pray that each one of us learn something, a valuable truth or truths that we can apply to our lives. We want to live better lives for You, and we know that that happens only as we study Your Word, take it seriously, and apply it to our lives. So help us to do that. Lord, as we go about our day today, whether we are working or going to school or whatever it is we're doing, I pray that you would guard our hearts and our minds. I pray that You would use us to bless other people. Help us to be an encouragement to everybody we speak to today. Father, we love You. We love You with all of our hearts. Help us to manifest that love in real ways today. And for the rest of the week, we dedicate it to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the podcast this morning. Come on back in 48 hours, a little bit less than that, for the next Panic Podcast Wednesday morning. God bless you. Go out there and make it a great, great week.